Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. This will be airing, I think, Monday the 17th of November. Mm-hmm. You and I are getting ahead of that a little bit because we got interesting things that both of us are doing in November itself. So the beautiful thing that you and I have is we get to tape these ahead of time. We try on, you know, either guest or end times to make it a little bit more current, closer to the date of airing. So we're not saying something that six weeks later is like, yeah, that happened 5 weeks ago.
Right.
So we're trying to do that. But this yeah. we have the privilege of taping ahead of time, building up ahead of time so that we can, because you'll be off first week of November. I'm going to be off second week of November.
Yeah. And then the holidays are coming. Lots of fun stuff on the horizon.
We do know one thing is that you and I will not be taping on Thanksgiving Day.
This is true.
I think our families would say, I thought you said you had priorities.
No, we'll be having a good time then, right?
Yeah, but here's fall coming, and it's here, and then Thanksgiving will be here, Christmas will be here, and boy, the year, it's interesting. It just feels like it keeps moving forward pretty quickly. So,
and every year feels faster, which yeah. I remember as a kid, my parents saying and thinking they were nuts, and now I understand. It does feel like every year goes faster.
Yeah, it does. What are you guys going to gather in New Hampshire for your family?
For Thanksgiving, for all of, so extended family, my extended family is everywhere. So that doesn't really work. But for Thanksgiving and Christmas, we will do, may or may not, you know, sometimes it doesn't actually land on the day for how things play out, getting three grown children who have spouses, but we will plan a day around both of those that we do our full family traditions and everything.
Yeah. And that's when you start decorating your house, right?
Yeah. So the day after Thanksgiving, everyone knows that knows us well knows the day after Thanksgiving is almost a bigger holiday at our house. It kind of starts Thanksgiving night and then on into the next day when we blast the house with Christmas and play carols and cut down trees and just, you know, it's always been such a sweet, sweet time. But we do enjoy Thanksgiving too and try not to bypass it because it is a beautiful time of truly giving thanks to God for everything. But
we're
super excited about the next day.
When you say cut down trees, do you travel someplace to cut them down or you just go in your back?
No, we don't. So I am super, super picky about what my tree looks like. So yes, we'll go to a tree farm. And I don't know if I ever shared, this is totally off topic. If you want me to say it for another time, I will. There was a time though, when Dan, I was out of town in October, we had gone, there had been a drought, which is kind of similar to this year, but you could tag trees ahead. I was out of town in October, the weekend that was going to be tagging. And Dan actually, or there were two weekends of it. And he's like, there's no way we're going to get the tree you want. And I'm like, no, you can't go tag it without me. That is not, it's not okay. This is not okay. And so he woke up, Anna and I are down in St. Louis for a wedding. He woke up early that morning before Josh and Caleb were even up and went and tagged a tree. And then the following weekend acted like he had done nothing, took us back to the farm. And it's like, this is one of those farms that has acres and acres and acres of trees. I forget. I think that it's like over 50,000 trees or something on this particular tree farm. And so there's, you know, there's like field A, field B, field C, field D, all of this. We actually are walking along and looking. And I'm like, oh, I don't see it anywhere. I mean, we've gone through multiple fields. We finally get to this one back field and we're probably 6 or 7 rows away from it. And I look off in the distance and I tell Dan, I was like, do you see that tree over there that already has a tag on it? That's my tree. That's the perfect tree. And he's like, oh, let's just go see it anyway. And I'm like, we can't do that. He's like, you know, making jokes about taking the tag off of it and switching and blah, blah, blah. And wouldn't you know, we walk up to it out of all these trees, this is how well my husband knows me. We walk up to it and there's this tag on it with a card. And Anna's like, look, Dad, there's a card on it. And she's young, you know. And he's like, what does it say? She says, Racone family. And so he opens it up and there's a letter from Santa saying, knew you were missing tree tagging, didn't want you to miss the perfect tree, wow, basically. So I tagged this one for you. And out of 50,000 trees that year, Dan went there, picked the tree that I from across the way walked and said, if I could have any tree, that's my tree. And he had chosen it.
That's remarkable. So,
but that's how picky I am about trees. Yeah. Also. So that tells you a little bit of both.
Well, the good news is that he knew what your pickiness was all about.
He did. And he did it very well.
That's fun. That's
Isn't
fun.
Isn't that sweet though?
That's really fun. Beautiful.
Fun memories.
Kids, I bet the kids had a fun time with that. Good memory them.
We all remember it. We all still talk about it. And that was hands down the best tree we've ever had in this house.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it was.
Well, we're talking, you know, we've been talking about forgiveness and not to confuse it with reconciliation, and that our call is to let his nature operate in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it's illustrated by ability and the heart of forgiveness towards somebody that has wronged you, mm-hmm. That has crossed your line of justice. And we talked about that God is a God of justice. He actually needs you to identify that. It's okay. He said, be angry and do not sin. It's okay that you understand that somebody crossed your line of justice and in essence requires your forgiveness because I've already forgiven them. Now, remember, I haven't reconciled with them necessarily because that takes two parties and the other party has to make that choice. So he says, I'm not asking you to go beyond that. You know, that's where the confusion comes in. Well, mm-hmm. if I forgive them, then I'm allowing them to get away with their injustice. And God says, no, you're not. I just need to free you up mm-hmm. and join me in what I've already done to allow people the opportunity to reconcile. And if they don't, it's not going to burden my heart to where I'm obsessed by they need to do something. He said, I've taken away the requirement that they need to do anything, but there's a consequence if they don't reconcile.
Right.
And that they could either spend eternity separated from me, or they certainly won't be living in the kingdom if they're believers.
Consequence if they don't forgive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if they don't, the other party.
Oh, the other party. Okay. I thought you were talking.
Doesn't set it straight. Now think about the consequence for me. I'm called to forgive, mm-hmm. but I stay in unforgiveness. There is a consequence to me. Mm-hmm. What do you think or see as the consequences of that?
One of the biggest consequences I see in that is, one, your peace and your joy just get stolen because there really is that vibe of that. But I also feel like I've heard it described as like a hairball in a drain. It actually interferes with you hearing the flow of the Spirit through you and you hearing God's voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he says, this is in Mark 11, you're even learning how to pray and experience my miraculous things. And if I remind you that you have unforgiveness, mm-hmm. that is, like you say, that's a limiting factor because it's saying you aren't operating with my nature inside of you. You've rejected mm-hmm. that and gone back to the flesh. It's a great indicator. This is why he said you got to stop. And let's get your heart right now, because two things. One is you're living under a oppression and maybe even get to a root of bitterness mm-hmm. to where it just characterizes your life as a, you know, low level infection and a edginess all the time. And you're demonstrating that you're not walking with me because my nature has already forgiven them.
Right.
So what we want to talk today about is, and the question comes up is that, okay, Christ forgave them, you know, how did it work in the Old Testament? What does it mean in the New Testament? And ultimately, you know, what does it mean now? So we're going to go back to Leviticus. This is with Aaron, the priest, high priest, and it's going to describe what they had to do as they came to a place, what's called atonement, the ability to forgive for the sins of the nation, but it was only year by year by year. So go ahead and read those verses in Leviticus. This is in 16.
Sure. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time to the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take them from the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. That's through 11. Do you want me to go ahead and do 20 to 22 now?
Yeah, okay. Do 20 and 22. Yep.
And when he has made an end of atonement for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness.
Then, so as you look at that, the way that it worked was, and in the nation of Israel and the Hebrew process, it's called the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And so the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and there was a sequence of three things. I have to sacrifice for my, as a high priest, because he is someone with a sinful nature.
Right.
I have to sacrifice for myself to cleanse the iniquity that I can't solve it myself. Mm-hmm. It has to be done through a blood sacrifice and the removal of the iniquity. So I do that for myself. I then do that for my family and all my spouse and my offspring. I do that for them. And then that gives me the opportunity that I now do it for the entire nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And their sin is removed, which, you know, is placed on the scapegoat and it's released, that it's taken away. And there's a picture of that is it's gone, never.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a step-by-step process of sacrifice, which is the blood of the life of the lamb. I then go through that, and the nation of Israel then has the opportunity to receive that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the high priest, which in this case was Aaron, has given them the opportunity now to live in the life of God throughout the rest of the year, which was going to be, I joined him in this place of forgiveness. And then I walked with God by surrendering my will to God, which is a heart sacrifice. So I have to join it. Now, what would happen in Israel, that because the high priest now fulfilled it, remember when you think about the Day of Atonement, when Israel had the temple, and of course here it's the tabernacle. Everybody from Israel went to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
What did they have to do? They had to join him in my own sacrifice. And basically, what I'm saying, I'm in agreement with what God just did for our nation, and I want to participate in that. By my sacrifice, I'm not sacrificing for the release of transgressions. I'm participating and joining what has already been done.
Interesting. Okay.
And I have to bring my own animal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, well, they travel a long way. So what happened is that the people coming a long distance, it would be too difficult to bring their own animal. So what they did when they got to Jerusalem would be buy one.
Right. Which is kind of the picture of Jesus in the marketplace when they're selling all these different animals too before that.
Yeah. Right? And it was always intended that, yeah, it's okay to buy one, set it up. And they set it up. They brought animals and they set them up and you could buy them. And Jesus, when he came to the temple, he overturned the tables. And what they're doing is they're collecting money at those tables. Mm-hmm. And he says, you've gone from losing the purpose of this, which is to make it super easy for these people to join me in what the sacrifice is all about. And you're now overcharging them because they don't have an option.
Right.
And you've made it, he called it a den of thieves, is that you're stealing from them. So he turned over the tables and said, you know, you've made my house a place of robbery, not a place of prayer, because it was supposed to be everybody joined what the high priest has just done. And what you've done is set up a system to make money from it. And you've all lost the purpose of this process. So it was joining him in the forgiveness that was given. Now, they could only do it 1 year at a time.
Right.
And Day of Atonement had to occur every year. Okay, now let's jump to Hebrews and go through the verses where it now talks about Jesus and what he did in chapter 9 and 10.
Hebrews 9:11-15 says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Hang on, let me see. One more. "And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance."
Yeah. Okay. And then keep going. I think it's what, 23 to...
You said 10, 1 to 12?
Yeah. Yeah. Then go 10, 1 to 12. Yep.
Okay. "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away the sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.' Previously saying, 'Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings, and offerings for sins you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God."
Yeah. So we just learned what the high priest did. Okay, what did Christ do? See, he was both the high priest and the sacrifice itself. Mm-hmm. He was both. And he said previously, it did have to go through the sacrifice of blood to satisfy the requirement, which was year to year to year, for the opportunity for people to have a relationship with God. Now, by the way, they still had to, again, participate and say, "I join you in that place. Mm-hmm. And now I understand that my role is to surrender my will to your will throughout the rest of the year. And then every year I have to go through that same process." Well, here he says, Jesus, he said, "I am the sacrifice. I am the high priest. I make the completed finish." So when he stood on the cross, he made a statement when he lifted up his eyes to the Father. What did he say? It is what?
It's finished.
It's finished. Yeah. See, it is done, completed. And it's once he said this, and this is why Hebrews, you can go into even more great detail in chapters 8, 9, and 10. Once and for all, done deal. He sat down in the Holy of Holies there was no seat because you couldn't sit there and finish it. You had to only stand there.
Right.
And in this case, Christ finished it once and for all, completed. And now he says, join me. Mm-hmm. But he says, you, interesting enough now, because of what I've done, and it's a spiritual act, you don't have to go to the temple and sacrifice your animal anymore. What, in order to join him, what do you sacrifice?
Our will, just joining him, ourselves.
I sacrifice myself. Mm-hmm. I say yes. And then he says, so you become, you're born again, become a believer. You say yes. You did it once and for all. I've forgiven you. Mm-hmm. On the basis of my nature, nothing else. You can't do anything to earn it. You deserve my wrath, but I forgave you to give you the opportunity to join me and reconcile with me. And that's being born again, one. And then two, as you live it out, I need you to keep joining me mm-hmm. by you having a heart of forgiveness toward everybody that's wronged you. Mm-hmm. On what basis? On his basis, on his right. nature, which is operating in me. And you surrender your will to me.
Yeah. One of the things I think is cool as we're reading this passage is just that first part of Hebrews, I guess Hebrews 9, where we were reading, no, maybe it wasn't the beginning of Hebrews 10, but where he said, y'all, we did this once a year so that you had to remember that this, you know, it was a pattern, a rhythm of remembrance of their sin, and that the cleansing only came through him. And then you look forward to after Jesus has done it, he did it once and for all, but he still gave us the rhythm of remembrance and communion.
Right. That's right.
And I think that's a beautiful thing. He didn't take away, he said, you know, this needs to be at the forefront of your mind. You know, this is a constantly coming to me. It is there. The forgiveness, the work is done, but I do want you coming. Remember what I've done, keeping short accounts with me and stepping into forgiveness, joining my work of reconciliation on the regular.
Yeah. And that, so when we are called to go to forgiveness, see, we're joining him kind of like the Israelites did is okay. I sacrifice with you, mm-hmm. not for me to have redemption, but rather I'm joining you in what you've already done for me.
Right.
And that means that that person that has wronged me, he said, we'll get later to reconciliation because that's always by invitation and two parties. But as far as this concerning you, I did it once and for all, already done. I've already forgiven that person that has wronged you. Mm-hmm. Join me in that same place and allow my heart to operate where you've gone to forgiveness, which means what? I don't have that burden that I have to be obsessed with this. I don't develop a root of bitterness. It doesn't dominate my life. Mm-hmm. And now, since there's no requirement for them to do anything per se, now we know that reconciliation does require them to process the truth mm-hmm. and to say, I'm sorry for what I did, and I'd like to come to a solution about that. That's what's required for reconciliation, mm-hmm. but not for forgiveness, which means I can now with honor and respect, Father, what would you have me do now? Mm-hmm. Which might be to offer to talk to them. Don't worry. They're not going to respond. Dust off your feet. We'll get into all that, but I'm just surrendering my will. Mm-hmm. To, okay, now what would you like me to do, given that I now have the freedom of forgiveness? Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm joining you in what you've already done once and for all. So we'll get into more depth about this, but it's really a beautiful description of, well, here's what it was like, you know, out of Leviticus, and they followed it, you know, for all those thousands of years. And now what Christ has done once and for all, we have the privilege of Christ within us. And he says, since I'm in you, my nature is there for you to live it out. All you have to do is be willing to let me operate within you. And it's an indicator. Mm-hmm. Are you walking with me? How? You have forgiveness toward that person that hurt you. And so, again, if you have specific questions about that, and sometimes it's confusing, but, you know, let us know. We're happy to help you. But it's a remarkable thing. So, Heavenly Father, it's really clear. You've done it for our benefit on your own nature. You did it once and for all. It's completed, finished. You're asking us to live that same place, join you in what you've already done for us and extend that to others. And may we live in that freedom and the joy of forgiveness, knowing that there's more to go with reconciliation. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. This is such an important conversation. And just reiterate, if you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. Forgiveness is messy and it's difficult and there's so many nuances, but Christ has the answer for all of this.
Yeah.
And he will absolutely walk you into forgiveness. So don't hesitate to send in your questions, questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.